Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the our vision on the workspace of 2020. It's a very big topic. We have only 45 minutes, so it will be a nice challenge. I'm Jeroen van der Kamp. I'm the Chief Technology Officer for Login VSI and Login Consultant. And I'm here together with Ruben.
Yeah, my name is Ruben. I'm the CTO of Atlantis Computing. Let's get started. I think the goal, in essence, is pretty simple. What is it? So why is it so simple? Well, because we will share our view on Workspace 2020. Is it the view and the only view?
Yes. No. Yes.
This is our view.
This is our view.
So we spent a lot of time, and it was fun as well, and it's still fun to present with Jeroen and talk about this topic. This topic is really close to our hearts.
Yeah.
And you will see in 45 minutes why it is close to our hearts.
Yeah, we're also a little bit proud of how we got here, because we've done this already for 3 years. So the story evolves, and you find a way to tell the story. And we're literally improving it every time we do the presentation again. So definitely. I hope you like it.
We created a backbone or a line through this 45 minutes presentation. This line is something like this. At the end, our goal is that you go home and understand what the bigger picture is and ask yourself where I am as an IT professional or where I am as a consultant in my organization or where is the customer in the modern workspace, in the workspace of 2020. On these different topics, am I still in 2010 with both feet, or is the customer or am I on a certain in 2020 with both feet? Ask yourself the question at the end. And we will use this backbone to share examples, to share the story about our view on Workspace 2020.
And most importantly, how magnificently the workspace is changing. Like, the changes are huge, massive, enormous. Nobody knows everything. So this is our little backbone, our structure.
And you need structure. Why? Because it's overwhelming when you see the amount of developments. It's really, really awesome. With a big smile and maybe like a twinkle in the eye as well.
Yeah.
When you look at all the developments in workspace industry and also in the data center industry as well. So start with the first topic, Jeroen.
Business. Actually, you didn't see that in the backbone. And we're not going to cover this space because if you look at how the business is changing from 2010 to 2020, it's dramatic changes. Just a small examples like Airbnb, Uber, the decarbonization of the economy, the sharing economy, the way we do business, the way consumers get their goods, how they do online business. The market is fundamentally changing. We think if you have a discussion about the workspace of 2020, you need to start the discussion about how's business changing to 2020. That's really, really obvious, and it's an open door. So we're not going to spend a lot of time here on this. We want to move forward first. But when we talk about the workspace of 2020, and we really narrow down a discussion, then the next step is, apart from what business is doing, is how's our workforce, how are people, the business consumers that instead of end users that Ruben likes to call it. And we have dramatic changes here, really significant dramatic changes. Ruben has a son, 16 years old. You heard it in his last presentation. He has totally different expectations of IT if you look at that colleague that is maybe close to his pension and remembers the day where computers still make noises, and he had a big cooling fridge on your desk. That old school world. You have to realize that the current generation is not familiar with the concept of a CRT monitor anymore. They don't know even how to power, and they really are super surprised that actually computer makes noise because of all the fans collecting dust. But these generations have a huge impact how you define your workspace strategy. And if you look at the workspace of 2010 and before that and how the workspace is changing from 2020 and beyond that, you have a totally different audience that are consuming IT in a totally different way. So if you talk about a Workspace 2020 presentation, strategy for the Workspace of 2020, it's very, very important that you also visualize for who you're building this workspace and what they're expecting from that workspace.
in the Workspace 2020 conversation, obvious, it is also about devices. So in 2010, we had, like, this was the setup of devices in the enterprise.
It was easy.
Easy. Desktop PC, laptop, thin client. That's it. But in 2020, it's like, it's huge. It's almost impossible to predict what kind of devices people will use, business consumers will use, to get their stuff done. So it's not only about laptop or like a smartphone, but maybe it is like magic gloves to get stuff done. I don't know. Could be. So the challenge with devices is it's huge, 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 and it will not be like smaller, smaller, smaller. And you cannot create like a standard in 2020 from a device perspective. Maybe you can create standards for certain roles in the organization, and therefore it's important to understand what the business is and the business consumers are. But with developments like this, you will see more and more devices and form factors, sensors, and so on entering the workspace of 2020. I'm not sure how it is about you, but this applies to me. When Doug asked this morning, when you wake up, what's the first thing you do? I need to be honest, this is what I do quite often. My smartphone and my tablet is like lying next to me. So check my mail, check the weather, check the news is what I do quite often. So is that the problem? Well, this for me, it's a reality. Sometimes it is a problem. That's a different conversation, but this is my reality. Sometimes it is great to be disconnected. Sometimes it's awesome to be always connected and always informed. But I think there will be a time where people really appreciate not being informed and not being connected. We'll see how it plays in 2020 and so on.
Yeah. Interesting to see. With all these devices, one of the big trends the last years was, of course, wearables, right?
Google Glass or smartwatch. Who of you actually wears a smartwatch? Can you show me? Only, am I in a geek class? This is impossible. Your Germans are so conservative. I'm sorry, I apologize. But if I go to the Silicon Valley, everybody wears a smartwatch. For me, it's not a solution because I forget things, so I forget to charge the thing, and then I have just a brick hanging on my, so for me, it's not a solution. But the reality is that if you look at smart wearables, right now the consensus is that wearables are okay, but they're not a huge success. And if you look at Google Glass, and by the way, if you look at Google Glass, it's very, very clear that as a wearable concept, it has no space in the consumer space. Maybe some of you are still dating, probably most of you are not, but can you imagine dating with a girl that has Google Glass, that gets real-time information about you and your Facebook profile while you're dating? There's something really obnoxious about it. So do you know how we call people in Silicon Valley, people that wear this? What's the, I apologize, it will be recorded, but it's just too good of a joke. Yeah. So how do they call people like this? Anyone dares? A glass hole. So, but the reality is, and this is really interesting, from a consumer perspective, wearables are not a success. From a business perspective, they will be a huge success. I guarantee. If you, like DHL or UPS, somebody that delivers their post, right? They don't need to scan it anymore. They get real-time information how to go to the office. You receive your package, immediately a picture is taken. A police officer, a nurse, a guy that's working in a garage has real-time information what to change and stuff like that. Wearables have a real practical place in the business market, for sure. And one more thing, quickly, because this is such a phenomenally interesting industry right now. Microsoft is innovating, but what we also see is that something completely new that didn't exist 5 years ago that has a tremendous impact on innovation. Dramatic. I'm really like, wake up. This is crazy. It's Kickstarter. The amount of innovation that's happening, if you compare, like, you know, if historians look back at this age right now, and you see a graph, like this is innovation, then the 1900th century came, and then Kickstarter came. So the literal amount of innovation happening, and that's influencing the Workspace 20. If you don't like change, we're in the wrong business. Yeah. So if you talk to somebody, I hate change, and you're responsible for the workspace, good luck.
That's actually the quote Doug or Bob made this morning. If you don't like, if you fear change,
yeah,
get fear out change. Of IT.
Yeah. Yep. And it's only getting worse and only more interesting, right? So for us, we're in business, guys. We can do high five. For now, we are still, there's a lot of work for us to ahead.
So we talked about workforce, we talked about devices. Let's talk about the application stack. And one of the big, well, topics in applications is mobile applications. So mobile applications in 2010 was something like this, like BlackBerry and like some basic apps, maybe mail, maybe a handful of other applications. But the future is like, I use my phone for almost everything. Walking, prepping for Mud Masters, and Nico and I discussed. GPS, camera, radio, you name it. If I lose this one, I'm pretty, it's like boating pass, the whole shit.
Watch this recording. So there's a lot of beeps in this recording. Like, Workspace 2020, beep, beep, beep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
So in 2020, it is this. So it's mobile apps are everywhere. And it will be more and more and more. But the interesting thing is not... The interesting thing is that other stuff like web apps or mobile web applications or Windows applications or OS X will be there as well. So it's more and more and more. And I shared more and more and more on devices. There's more and more and more on applications as well. Part of the application conversation is software as a service. Every customer is active with this. When you look at what's happening, Office 365 is mentioned. Slack is mentioned, like collaboration. HRM applications are mentioned. Most of the developments and the developments I see in on the application side is customers moving away from like traditional on-premises to software as a service applications. And it depends where you are, what kind of applications you have. If you're in Germany or if you're in Europe in general or in the US, yes, there is conversations about where is my app, where is my data, what does it mean for like legal and these type of things. But the movement of SaaS in 2020, so 2020 is default, software as a service, and it's already happening today.
Interesting to see, by the way, if you look at a startup, so a company that's younger than 5 years, how many applications do they build and maintain themselves? None, or not none, but very, very small percentage. So you can clearly see like the two kinds of companies, the young ones and the old ones. And the old ones have a lot more build their own application stuff like that. Yep. It's also very typical for old, because we did a survey in 2015 and we asked like, how important are still Windows applications? So we asked the audience in a survey, more than 600 people participated, like, so how many of your applications are dedicated Windows applications? And everybody predicted the death of Windows applications for a very long time ago already, right? We're in the post-PC era. But the reality is for especially older companies, we have, I want to use the S word again, but a lot of Windows applications still. This will change over time. Over time, slowly, more and more different other application platforms will be using. It's a good example, like Microsoft also embraces, for instance, Android applications on the mobile, and they want to package that and play a role in this. They have to, because this is the world. It's not only Microsoft anymore. We're definitely not after Microsoft. Microsoft will be with us and Microsoft applications for a very, very, very long time.
Just an example, if suppose you have like hundreds of Windows applications in your enterprise, and every month you will offload one of the Windows applications. You migrate Windows off every month, one application. It still takes 10 years to get off the Windows. And 100 applications is not a strange number in enterprise. It's a pretty low number in enterprise. So Windows will be here for a long time. And therefore, Windows delivery and Windows application delivery will be here for a long time as well. So that's about apps. Windows apps, mobile apps, software as a service apps. How does the workspace look like in 2010? Probably this is a picture or a similar picture like this. This is the workspace. It was a very simple world.
Yeah.
Windows 7, that's it. Maybe Vista to some degree. Not so much. But in 2020, the workspace probably looks like this. Less connected to the OS and more like an interface where the different applications, mobile, web, Windows, and Windows application remoting, are brought together in an interface with my identity, the role of identity and identity management, with my data are connected to the interface.
It's interesting if you look at our applications, you know, the workspace is fundamentally changing. But let's talk a little bit about operating systems. So which operating system. Actually, we used this slide and we decided to leave it like this, but we've done this presentation 20 times and we forgot one important operating system. Which one? Which one are we missing? This says a lot that we don't immediately say Linux. Yeah. It says a little bit like, okay, so Linux as an operating system, of course, is the foundation for Android, right? But Linux as a desktop operating system doesn't seem like the future right now at all. I don't think a lot of people will think that Linux will dominate the desktop or the PC or classic laptop space for a very long time to come. BlackBerry, I said, they need to be off. This was our distraction, right? But the reality is, again, in post-2010, Microsoft was the dominant player. It's very, very obvious, and also Microsoft embraces this with the cloud and mobile first, cloud and mobile strategy first, is that we live in a heterogeneous world. Will there be other big operating systems right now? And don't shoot me on it. In 5 years, I own you a bottle of champagne, but I don't think there will be a big other players in the operating system market. Why? You can already see how difficult it is for Microsoft to get a traction in the mobile market, because they don't have enough app for, enough applications. And right now, the amount of applications defines the popularity of your operating system.
That's a pity. I truly like Windows Phone as a platform. I used Windows Phone for a long time. When there are 1,000 people in the audience and someone asks who's using Windows Phone, I was probably one of the two or three who raised their hands. I switched to something else. Why? Because of app gap, as Jeroen mentioned, but yeah. Also app crap.
Yeah.
The apps in the store were not great.
Yeah.
And I, like, as a good parent, I educated my kids. I have three kids. And the two older ones were using Windows Phone. And unfortunately, they said, I think a couple of months ago, Dad, this is not doing real. I don't have the apps I need for school on my Windows Phone. Can I have a different phone? Like, oh, beep, beep. So I bought a different phone for them because of app gap and app crap. Yeah. That's the biggest challenge right now. And I truly wish that would be different. But that's what I see in the field right now.
In the enterprise space, what will be the most important OS for a workspace in 2020? Anyone dare to take a guess?
Browser.
I don't think so, to be honest. Because you need a little bit more. I think still we need Windows.
Yes.
And which Windows version are we using? Windows 10. Probably. It's still. I'm guessing it still will be. I think it will just. They drop 10. It will be just Windows. It makes sense that they do it. I'm really happy with Microsoft. I was super critical of Windows 8 before they released it. I think they made a huge and then another bleep word, right? And it was amazing to me that they did it because it was like you saw that train wreck coming. I apologize, but they had two worlds. You were working in Outlook and suddenly you were in a touch and a full screen a photo viewer because you opened a photo, right? And how do I get back to my original Outlook? Very, very frustrating and not really felt thought of. And the great thing I like about Windows is that they didn't just fix this, but they really fixed how they do Windows. They really brought Windows to the modern world as an operating system. Now innovation is a continuous thing. Every 4 or 5, 6 months, there's new threshold with new features. And they're continuously updating the operating system, and they really want to pull that out of the old PC era and bring that to a modern workspace time, where also mobile device management is the way to go. I think they did good. And really restored my faith in Windows, because honestly, with Windows 8 and the way Microsoft managed positioned that, I was genuinely worried, and I think they fixed it with Windows 10.
I think in general, the energy level in Microsoft is really high. When you look at stuff like HoloLens, as an example, yep. Or the cloud, or Azure, as part of cloud.
This is
and Windows, well,
this,
I really
this is
like
super interesting, because in 2010, Microsoft was everything except sexy. And right now, you see so much innovation happening, and we're going to talk about it later also, because they play a huge role with Microsoft, is that they become the new cool kid on the block again. And it's really impressive that a big company can pull something off like that. Yep. Anyway, let's talk about desktop virtualization.
So we're still in the OS space, and desktop virtualization is a core asset in delivering Windows applications. And we already discovered and discussed that Windows applications are a great asset and will be a great asset for the next 10 years or so. I truly believe that we are today in the VDI 3.0 days, where our user experience should not be any serious discussion anymore. Yes, there will be discussion because of user experience is this scope. But when you look at graphics, when you look at remoting protocols from Microsoft, Citrix, VMware, when you look at GPUs from Intel, AMD, NVIDIA, it all impacts in a very positive way the user experience. Storage, there should not be any discussion about storage anymore. Performance and storage is solved. Licensing is partly solved. Licensing in Microsoft context is partly solved in desktop virtualization space. Storage with hyperconverged means bring things together, make it simple, is there. There are a ton of great hyperconverged vendors in this space. And driving cost of desktop virtualization down is a core message and a core reality as well. And that's possible today. When we move forward and we look to 2020, graphics will be more common because of more competition between Intel, AMD, and NVIDIA. Intel entering like GPU and CPU, combine that with an APU. Broker will be more on-premises, will be more off-premises, with like WorkSpot or with Citrix Workspace Cloud or VMware Horizon Hybrid Air as an example. And hopefully licensing will be fixed as well. I truly hope that with the movement to cloud and desktop as a service, Microsoft will see the light that, hey, I need something for the service provider licenses agreement in this space.
So if you look at VDI, it's really interesting because when we look at server-based computing, VDI 15 years ago, it was all about thin clients and centralized management and stuff like that. But what we see is that organizations are not primarily choosing only to do that. There is much more strategic. They choose to virtualize Windows to cloudify their Windows desktop and their Windows workspace and to cloudify their old-school legacy applications and make that device and completely device and location independent. And it's really progressing. It's also really interesting to see there's so much innovation happening and so many problems are solved. If you do it the right way, storage should not be a problem anymore. But the reality is that there's also new market happening. And there's the desktops as a service market. And this means that you can basically rent your Windows workspace from the cloud. And this is still a very young market because Amazon started, there was already a couple of players in there, but there was not a lot of traction. Then Amazon came and they provide a Windows a Windows desktop as a cloud service. And so suddenly Amazon, which is a tour de force, is that the industry started doing a lot more about and around desktops as a service. We're still in a very immature world because what do you get? You get basically an empty desktop a la MediaMarkt style. So that's what you get. You do not get a business-enabled desktop. For DaaS to be successful, it's really, really important that the partner ecosystem around DaaS provides additional services and makes sure that it's not just an empty Windows shell, but a really working application there. It's maintained and managed and taken care of. Another aspect, and this is a huge topic if you talk about, you know, how the world is changing from 2010 to 2020, but just a couple of keywords. You know, when we talk about security and access, in 2010, it was two-factor authentication. It was very cumbersome. You need to do a lot of printers. Oh, thank you. And we talked about viruses, right? You know, with governors. And cybercrime was something that felt exclusive for the top 1,000. From a security and access point of view, the world is dramatically changing. So first we considered on-premise to be secure. Now we consider even on-premise to be insecure. And I think that's justified, right? Data is now everywhere. Very big change is now cybercrime is also everywhere. It's not just a big corporation, it's also like, who of you know a company that has been, ransomware, where you have to pay 500 euros to, blackmailed. Yeah, so pay 500 euros to get rid of the encryption or the deep, yeah. I know a couple of companies. What is the solution? If you are being ransomed and your files are encrypted and you're ransomed, like, pay me 500 euros, what is the solution today? To get start Bitcoin mining or pay. There is no solution. The police cannot help you. when your company is being hacked through cybercrime and is being ransomware hacked, there's only one solution: pay. Otherwise, you'll be out of business and don't, and you will not be able to access your data for a very long time.
Or you could restore from a backup if you have one.
If you have, of course, and the backup should be secure. And how much time does it take to restore all your data? So, to get rid of the ransomware, right? And often what they do, they only cost a couple of 200 euros. Everyone is at risk. Security is only becoming a bigger topic in 2020. What we also think is that when it looks to what is key to the success of security software is that the user experience must be better. And this is truly what we see with Windows Hello, that you just walk in front of your computer and immediately are identified. And this is a trend that will continue. So the success of good security is that it has a great user experience. Otherwise, people will go around it. Thank you. Identity management.
Yeah, the identity management, same sort of picture. When you look at this picture, in the early days, it was one identity, Active Directory, or maybe Novell when you're from the other side, depending on what kind of site you have. Different platforms, different application platforms with your own like database, with your own username and passwords is quite often happening in this space. In 2020, and it's happening already, is many identities. Enterprise, on the enterprise side, on the cloud side, with different service providers, software as a service, social, use social as identity as well. And identity as a service, like Azure AD Premium is a good example, or Okta or Ping are great examples of identity management as a service solutions. Why? To create a great user experience from a security perspective. Log in once, securely, two-factor authentication, and then start multiple applications. And if for some reason I'm moving to another department, with that, the whole movement from applications and authorization as well from at this platform. Conversation about social becomes the corporate identity. Just log in with Facebook or Google Plus or Twitter as an identity platform is not a strange conversation anymore. And identity theft is more and more a topic these days, in 2020 especially. I think the key asset with the whole workspace, and of course it's great to geek out about GPUs and storage and all that kind of stuff, but the asset for the business consumer is to get stuff done, to collaborate with each other. And I truly believe that there are three major topics about collaboration. I will explain what the major topics are in this slide. In the earlier days, 2010, it's coffee, or in the UK it's tea, probably. In Germany is beer, probably. Traditional meetings in Holland, probably in Germany as well. Road warrior, we live in Hanover and your customers in Munich. Need to drive some miles or some kilometers for that. So road warrior, more travel. USB drives to collaborate. Phone calls, traditional phone calls with dial-in systems. Separated platforms, fighting for office space. When I entered this building, what I found is that, like in the lowest floor, space was empty. And I asked, is this like built for growth? Well, they bought this company or they rent this company, and with work is not a place, you don't need that much office space anymore. So that's happening already. That's what I see here in this building, but it's happening in the customers in general. 2020, it's unified communications. It's Link or Skype for Business. It's WhatsApp. Create a small group when you're having a project team easily. And the ease of use of WhatsApp, not only for messaging or for photos, but also for calling or group calling, is very easy. Meeting spaces, like I have an office space for Atlantis in Utrecht as a meeting space as an example. Enterprise file sharing as a platform, or social enterprise like Yammer is a platform, or Slack as a platform for that, to collaborate with each other. It's common. For me, it's common to work like that. I cannot do my work without these things in 2016 in my role as CTO. And for your role, it applies the same. Real-time translation, not using that today. But when you look at the videos and the earlier previews of Skype for Business, it is real-time translation. I think there's a video between German and English as an example.
Can I interrupt for 1 second?
Sure.
Because actually, this is huge, beyond huge. We talked about it last year. It's really super cool that you then see HoloLens presentations where augmented reality is combined with presence and where you can see the other person standing there, and that you can collaborate. And I do collaborate with a lot of people online. I have to, because we also have an office in Silicon Valley with 9-hour time difference. And once these colleagues come down to our office and sit face to face, it feels so much more productive, because you get so many cues that you don't see on the webcam. You have much bigger understanding what's happening if something is, you know, when there's no sound because there's a way or whatever. So collaboration face to face is huge. It's really, really important. We, the Germans, drive a lot of kilometers, a lot. I know I work for, we also have in Germany a consulting firm. They drive a lot of kilometers to go to their office. And then maybe 1 or 2 days at home, working at home. But it really, really will change with HoloLens and virtual reality. And I think Microsoft has a huge role in this. And the minute, how far, okay, imagine this. How far away is the future that I'm here right now doing a presentation in English or collaborating with somebody in Hong Kong that speaks Chinese, that I can see and that we can go jointly together to the whiteboard, and that there's real-time translation happening in my ear by a computer, and that we can share a room and jointly work on that collaboration. I can see, and I cannot touch him, and better that I cannot smell him.
Other
way around can also be, yeah, of course. But how unrealistic is this?
I don't think so unrealistic.
How big of a shift this would be, that this is really easy to set up and this will become the norm, and that many of you can have remote meetings face to face, being super productive, being humans, because it's about being a human, and actually experience and, you know, and cross time and space almost. And I think this is not just a little bit, this will happen in our lifetime. It will change our work. Because the reality is, we don't use webcam, we do it, of course, but it never gives you that same feeling. But can you imagine that somebody only works in virtual offices all the time? And he really, like, we, of course, it's not reality, but that we get to 95% of reality. And how productive can you be? It's this is beyond huge. You cannot imagine. And also the beauty of it, that somebody that has no money can be sit front row at a Mariah Carey concert or whatever and experience something, or be at the top of the Himalaya. Okay, one more thing. Who has heard of Leap Magic? Who knows Leap Magic? I don't have time to explain what it is, because I don't know. $1 billion is invested. But they have radical technology that is very similar, probably, to HoloLens. And they will also accelerate this market. So keep aware of Leap Magic. In a couple of years, they'll be, that Leap Magic thing, that was nothing. Okay, doesn't matter. Move on.
So ownership is also part of the conversation in Workspace 2020. Who's owner of device, or owner of application, or owner of data? What are the core assets? What are the diamonds in the organization? Is a very important conversation. So yes, ownership is still quite often in 2010. It's like IT owns the device. We own the device and we manage the device, something like that. That will shift. Why? Because the devices are everywhere. Applications are everywhere. The key question is, what is your core asset? What data is core? And how do you manage that? And who's owner of that? When we look at data center in 2010, it is quite often built your own. Use server brand A, storage brand B, storage fabric brand C, the storage itself, like the storage arrays brand D, and create my own data center, best of breed type of approach. You already see the shift from build your own data center to converged in the Cisco stack or the EMC stack as an example. Mostly on-premises. SAN and S is being used like most of the time, spinning drives or hybrid. In some degree, flash when you move forward to 2016, 2015. Virtualization on the compute side is all over the place. There's no discussion really anymore about virtualization. While in the early days, is it supported? What do you think about virtualization? These type of conversations were happening. Not anymore in 2016. 2020 is integrated systems. Is hyperconvergence as well. Merging the traditional layers in less layers. Is hybrid, is on-premises and off-premises, connecting these two worlds, bridging these two worlds. Not with the eeny-meeny-tiny bridge, but with a serious bridge from a storage perspective, from an identity perspective, from a networking perspective. solid state storage with intelligent software, software-defined storage, and with flash is the norm in 2020. And Docker's containers, besides of virtualization, is happening. It's already happening in the more application development side, and will happen for us as well. Look at Server 2060 and containers and Nano as an example. Microsoft is big on that. There's big investment on that.
But it's not just technology. It's also the way we do things is dramatically changing, big time. And to be honest, the changes are not that visible in the classic workspace. For most IT, we're doing things the way we've done 10 years ago. This is a slower process because this is a cultural change. How do you do things? You know, in 2010, we found it quite normal that we fully manage everything in the workspace. We worked with enterprise software deployment solutions like System Center, of course. You know, that's by far the most dominant solution to do this. We used application virtualization like AppFi. We did state automation, meaning that we use scripts to automate just the state, so installing an MSI. And we had a lot of organizational silos. It's quite common in big organizations. You have a printing department, security department, smart card department, desktop department, laptop department,
networking and storage
and application, and a lot of departments. A lot of departments.
Department for managing departments.
Yeah, in 2000, what we see is that this approach is simply not working anymore. If you look at old school IT and compare that how the cloud is done, it's so much more faster, and they have a totally different approach. And I believe that approach will become dominant and more visible and used, and also used by us, by regular work enterprises with a normal workspace management. So the norm in 2020 will be self-service. We probably use technology not like ESD, more system center, but much more, you know, managing Windows as a mobile device. That's really where we're going. Application layering is a thing that's coming more and more. Automation is really changing the game. Is that on so many levels, automation now is being done. You're not just automating a state, but the full change cycle, going from test environment to production environment. And a huge difference in here is DevOps. DevOps is where you think in verticals, where you do agile delivery, where you don't have big project plans, but that you dare also to fail and that you deliver your IT services around the workspace much, much, much faster. Only 2 minutes left. How much do we have left?
We're fine. We saw the 10-minute sign.
Ah, cool.
So we are 5 minutes sign.
Yeah. Ah, okay, cool.
We're totally fine. You have no stress.
Okay, cool. So if we move forward to monitoring, it's also changing the game.
So in 2010, it was state monitoring. It's server threshold event monitoring, using Nagios as an example, or SCOM as an example. User exception testing, quite often, not so much.
No.
Manual testing, when you're looking. No automation, or very limited in automation is what I see. Mostly reactive, not proactive. In 2020, it's end-to-end user experience monitoring. And there are smart tools, smart solutions in this space to help with that. More proactive and predictive. And also business services as well. And I have a picture to explain what I mean with that. So in the earlier days, from an IT perspective, we monitor the physical IT components and utilities on this side. Use Nagios or these type of solutions. Great to see that my disk space is running out of my storage is running out of disk space. But the key question is, what is the impact for my business service? And especially when my business service relies on multiple services on this side, IT services, and especially when the IT services are not being delivered from my IT organization alone, but maybe from Microsoft or Google or from Sipago or Login or pick a service provider. If all these services come from different sources, this doesn't really make sense. You don't care if it's delivered by a service provider. You don't monitor like this. So solutions in this space to monitor this, if it's your own premises, if it's your own infrastructure, but also monitor and get insights from a user perspective, the performance perspective, what is the impact for that for a business service perspective is an interesting and an important one.
Can we go back? Because I think there's one thing that really, I think, is huge. Again, a huge thing. I've been to GTC 2 weeks ago, NVIDIA GTC.
Yeah.
And it used to be about games and how fast graphics cards are, but they completely changed the game, what they can do with GPUs. And actually, what's one thing they're extremely good at, GPUs? Deep learning.
Yep.
And deep learning means that you just have a computer look at data. It's truly a big data technology. Just look at data and let it learn itself. And we really feel that the days that that you configure every single event in SCOM and every single threshold in your monitoring solution, it will be there for a while, but slowly it will change because you will get deep learning algorithms looking at your performance and security data, by the way. Deep learning is also used for security. We should add that to the security slide, by the way. But deep learning is that the machine is learning itself what anomalies are and that you can way better predict. It will have a huge impact because you will get so much deeper insight and you will, because the problem with classic monitoring is you will only find what you're looking for, right? You have a small headlight and you only look in the dark and you only see what you're looking for. Deep learning will just scan everything and will find you problems that you wouldn't have think of. There's a very well-known solution called the Uber Agent. That's very getting very close to that. Okay.
Well, the visualization is key as well. So Splunk with that is a core asset.
Yeah, so it's truly big data. So, you know, this is really where the market is going. Another topic that's really close to my heart and it's like super interesting how this market is evolving is artificial intelligence.
So she is close to your heart?
Yes, especially Cortana. Well, of course Cortana, this is a Microsoft event. But this is not far away. Deep learning is something that's affecting our lives now as we speak. The minute you leave this building and you have a certain operating system, well, it takes you 45 minutes to get back home. Artificial intelligence is getting, deep learning is getting there, and it's also the next step to artificial intelligence. It's also scary. But the reality is that it's not something futuristic. We already live in a world with a lot of artificial intelligence. And interestingly, we have this slide like a couple of years already in there. And then on the latest build conference, what was one of the hot things that Microsoft was providing? Bots, right? So it's really going this way. This is tangible.
Bots on the new apps was the tagline.
Yeah.
So we talked about a ton of stuff, and probably you need a Red Bull or an Weissbier or whatever to adjust of all this information overload. But there's one more thing. It's about IT hypes. Last topic. So in 2010, the hype was mobile and cloud and green IT and virtualization. And maybe you can name another couple of topics. I think in 2020, it's IoT, simplifying IT. We made this up. What is simplifying IT? There's demand because it's overwhelming, the amount of choices you have.
Explosion of complexity.
Yeah, make it simple.
Yeah.
So say no or skip stuff, as an example. It's part of simplifying IT.
What we're missing, we don't have a lot of time, but do you have one topic, because we didn't talk about robotics, but that's not workspace-related, or drones, not workspace-related, or 3D printing. But are there other topics that we miss, that we really did not talk about, that are relevant for the Workspace 2020? Driving cars, that you can work in your car. I think that's very, very close, yes. So this should be here. But is it workspace? Oh, it becomes workspace.
Yeah. Work is not a place.
Yeah.
It's my car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just get your cars, find your parking place itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good extension.
Other topics? No. Okay,
let's,
I think.
Let's go to the conclusion slide. We promised that we started with the backbone. So when you look at the conclusion, this is the conclusion of Workspace 2020. And there's a lot of text in this slide. So you get the deck via Helga and Helga's colleagues. Or you can create pictures, that's fine, or you can send Jeroen or me an email. So the question to you is, when you know these major topics and have some background where we shared in the last 45 minutes, where do you are on desktop virtualization or identity? Are you in 2010 or are you already in 2020? Good question. So you can use this kind of backbone to create structure in conversations. I like structure. Because it's overwhelming when you see all these developments. We just scratched the surface in this amount of time we had. So structure is handy to get stuff done.
Excellent template to have a discussion, to have a high-level discussion about the workspace of 2020. I think this wraps it up. Thank you for attending our session. And hopefully we'll come back in 2020 and just say how wrong we are, right? Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.